everybody should be concerned about. You don't want to run into a thyroid problem. And when you do, I'm telling you right now, you better learn it. You better become your own expert, or you're going to go through the pain and the misery of putting your health into the hands of someone else when you could possibly help them help you.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and as always, it's just my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. And tonight, I'm super excited. And, you know, one of the things I love about the show is previous guests, friends, people I meet on social media say, you need to interview somebody. And that is who I'm going to interview tonight, is one of those somebodies that got referred to me. And her name is Elle Russ. She's the author of The Paleo Thyroid Solution. And, you know, I went and looked back through the 300 or so episodes, and we haven't really talked about the thyroid. And I got to thinking about, gosh, it's really a very important part of us. And yet, so many of us tend to overlook it. So I'm really excited to have her on tonight to discuss about thyroid. Let me tell you a little bit about her, because an amazing woman. She has helped thousands of people around the world reclaim their health. She is also a TV and film writer and the show host of the popular Primal Blueprint podcast, started by the New York Times bestselling author Mark Sisson. And we'll get in more in this woman's amazing bio. She's got all sorts of accolades here, but I just want to jump right in because she is just a brilliant wealth of knowledge. So welcome to the show, Elle.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm always excited to talk about this.
I felt really bad when I started looking through all of our episodes. When was the last time we talked about thyroid? And it was one of our first episodes, so it's been a while. It's been a few years. So, gosh, and I got to thinking what an important part of us it is, and yet often overlooked, even by medical professionals. I was going through some of the common symptoms of problems with the thyroid and thinking they could mimic so many things. So first, let's tell the audience, what got you interested in your paleo thyroid solution?
So like millions of people, this is what happens. You're having some symptoms, you go to a doctor, and then they try to patchwork the symptoms without looking at, gee, why did this person start to fall apart? Now, we know that that's the Western medicine model. You know that. We're looking for a prescription or surgery when we go to such a doctor, which is why we often have to go out of network or out of the realm of Western medicine and turn to functional medicine doctors or naturopathic physicians and people who have sort of gone above and beyond the standard model and training. And, you know, they're going to test more, spend more time with you, right? But when you have 10 minutes in a doctor's office, you know, probably not going to get somewhere. So what happened with me is I am in the entertainment industry in Hollywood. And at the time, I was like 15 or so years ago, 20 years ago, when I first arrived here, it was very clear that you had to be fit in order to be a leading lady, which is the category that I was in. Now, it's way better now. We see a lot of people on television that are reflective of normal body types. But at the time, it was so I was like, okay, I know what I have to do. I've got to go work out and kind of be this athlete. Well, in that process, I started to fall apart. I didn't realize at the time I was on a very dangerous exercise and eating paradigm. But also, I didn't realize how that was affecting my thyroid. Okay, I found all this out later. Now,
like a lot of us.
Now, we don't know what brought it on. And I can talk about all the things that were possibly going on that could have caused it. But the bottom line is this: I suffered and I lost about 7 years of my 30s. But here's the thing: I live in Los Angeles. I live in one of the major cities in the world for medical. And yet I couldn't find a doctor to diagnose me correctly or help fix me. I went to over 24 endocrinologists and doctors over a decade. And finally, what happened was, my first symptom was that, I was 30 years old at the time and perfect health in every other way, perfect, history with my family. And I started to get my period all the time, like every couple of weeks. And I chalked it up to a fluke at the time. But then I just kept bleeding and it wouldn't stop. So I go to the doctor and I don't know anything about anything at this point. I'm like everybody. I trust my doctor. He's got a Harvard degree. He must know what he's talking about. I go in there and he tests my thyroid incorrectly. And he says, your thyroid's fine. Work out more and eat less. And he tapped on my gym shoes and he said, work on. And I said, I'm working out 2 hours a day. I'm eating 1200 calories and I was just getting fatter and fatter. My hair was falling out. I was getting acne. I was having all these symptoms and there's 40 in my book and I'll talk more about symptoms in a minute. So he's doing all this patchwork. They put me on the pill. I bleed through that one. They put me on another one. I bleed through that one. Oh my gosh. And meanwhile, the birth control pill, which robs you of testosterone in your thyroid, was probably making it worse. Long story short, I go to all these doctors. Everyone fails me. The only people that actually helped me were fellow patients online in a free group. And I'll mention it because Janie Bothorpe is one of the best thyroid experts in the world. And her book is called Stop the Thyroid Madness. And so is her website. At the time, she didn't have a website or the book. This was like 2006. She just had a forum where fellow patients were helping fellow patients kind of, who had figured it out. And they led me in a direction that helped me help myself. So what I had to do is I had to go online and order my own thyroid meds and be my own doctor, which is absolutely insane. Now I have a philosophy degree. Okay. So here's the thing, like that's a joke. Like I can't, I was in school. I was like, I hate math and science. Like this is the last thing. Right. So I literally had to learn it myself, become my own subject expert. And I fixed myself twice in 10 years. The first bout I had of hypothyroidism, I fixed with treating myself with natural desiccated thyroid. Then at some point that medication backfired on me in a storm called reverse T3 thyroid, which is even worse because most doctors really don't know how to deal with that or test it. So twice in 10 years, I was left in the dust on my own to solve my own thyroid problem. So what I would do is I would use doctors for blood work. I ordered my own thyroid hormones, checked all my vitals, and literally I had to be my own experiment and I fixed myself twice. So that's how I became an accidental subject expert. And then all these people all over the world, like I would just be hiking in Hawaii somewhere and someone would mention their thyroid problem. I don't know, we're on a hike and I'd, coach them. And finally people were like, you should write a book. But I was like, well, what's been said that hasn't already been said? I don't know. So then 7 years ago, I met Mark Sisson, who's the New York Times bestselling author of The Primal Blueprint and also the Keto Reset Diet. And he's been around forever. He's one of the main igniters of the paleo primal ancestral health movement. And when I started working for him, I had corrected my second bout of thyroid problem, but I still hadn't been able to lose the weight. And I was struggling with some physical issues and inflammation. So I'm looking at this guy and his wife, and they're like 20 years older than me, and they look amazing. And they don't seem to be struggling with food and they're not overworking out. And I thought, maybe I should read this guy's book. So I read his book and I modeled myself and I thought, oh my gosh, I've been on this carbohydrate dependent paradigm forever. I finally switched to paleo. And what I noticed is that things start to get corrected. My medication decreases by 50%. Some inflammation goes away. And then I did have to work with a functional doctor to correct some things that had happened. Because when you're in a hypothyroid state, it is a disease state. So you will get a disease or another affliction that you otherwise would not have gotten. So all of these little things happen. And there's only so much food and lifestyle can do. Sometimes you do need supplements. Sometimes you do need some intervention. So I cleaned it all up. Long story short, I finally pitched the Mark because I was the first person to connect these things. And we can get into this a little bit later because I definitely want to focus on thyroid, but the paleo thyroid solution is not about, you gained weight because you got fat because you were hypothyroidism. And here's how to lose it. That is part of it. But the other part of it is that in general, a high fat, moderate protein, low carb paradigm is really the ultimate in blood glucose management and adrenal management. And that really goes along with how our thyroids work. And I'll let you go from here. But one of the most important things that everyone needs to know is that, and this is not me saying it because I think it's important. This is just a fact. The thyroid is the master gland of the entire human body. If you had your thyroid gland removed because of thyroid cancer or for some other reason, or if you were the one in the billion people that were born without one, they'd have to administer thyroid hormones pretty quickly, or you will be mentally retarded. You will have, the child will not have the proper brain development. They will be intellectually disabled. And if you don't have a thyroid gland, then you have to be on thyroid hormone replacement or you're dead. So what does that say about someone who's living in subpar thyroid, thyroid hormone output metabolism? It's a slow death. And that's exactly what hypothyroidism feels like. It's accelerated glycation. You're aging rapidly. Your hair's falling out. You're breaking down. The reason the thyroid is also the master gland of the human body is it is absolutely in control of the production and regulation of all of your sex hormones. Hence my bleeding issue. Hence infertility. Hence, did you get diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome? I did too. Guess what? Didn't have it. Well, what do you mean, Elle? How was the doctor that much of a dummy? He wasn't. When you looked at the ultrasound, I absolutely had PCOS, but no one said why. And once you fix the thyroid, the cascade of things go. So hypothyroidism causes depression. So you go to the doctor. They don't test your thyroid properly to rule that out first. So they give you the Prozac. The Prozac works for 3 months, then it won't work, because you never got to the root of it. The same goes for high blood pressure, which is often insulin resistance. The same goes for a really crappy lipid panel. Oh, you need statins. We're worried about your heart. Do you? Because I had a horrible lipid panel too when I was hypothyroid, because you can't process fat. Once you correct that, the cascade of everything works together. So everybody in this world has to have either a thyroid gland or proper thyroid hormones. It doesn't matter which way you get it. There's plenty of people who've had thyroid cancer and had the gland removed, but then you have to replace what that's not giving. And I'll leave it there, because I could probably go on and just keep going. It'll just be a lecture. But let's start there, because this is something that everybody should be concerned about. You know, you don't want to run into a thyroid problem. And when you do, I'm telling you right now, you better learn it. You better become your own expert, or you're going to go through the pain and the misery of putting your health into the hands of someone else when you could possibly help them help you.
Oh, absolutely. And bravo for being your own best expert. I think that's the best way. Everybody's different. And I praise all types of medical intervention I've had, although they've all been limited because they're not me. They're not experiencing this body. They're not aware of every little symptom that's happening and being able to put words to the right ones. My frustration is, especially with thyroid tests, but tests in general, is you get this range. Like you get, okay, from 50 to 100 is normal, and you're at 49. And they'll say, oh, you're fine, go away. So let's talk about thyroid tests, because like the T3, T4 are not enough. Let's talk about what do we need to do to really get someone to say, hey, stop, listen to me, I really want to test my thyroid.
Right. So I'm going to list the tests right now. And I also have a free thyroid guide on my website where these are all listed too with more information. But let me just list them now, because everybody should know what a general, like, do I have a thyroid problem? What tests should I get initially to see what's up? And these tests are the following. You need TSH, free T4, free T3, reverse T3. And then you do need to rule out whether you have Hashimoto's or not, which is an autoimmune thyroid disorder. We'll talk about that in a minute. Those two antibodies are TPO antibody, which stands for thyroid peroxidase. And then the other one is TG antibody, which stands for thyroglobulin. Now, aside from those six, I would say that there's a few others that are kind of important in this mix. There's plenty more tests and things to do. And there's so many things that can affect a thyroid problem. You could have heavy metals. Okay. But as a basic checkup, what's going on? I also would always add vitamin D to that test and ferritin. Ferritin is iron storage, and it is often very low in hypothyroid patients, regardless of how much meat you eat, et cetera. And those are sort of some important components there. I'd also probably say B12. So that was just be like a general, hey, is something going wrong? And then from there, you can look into more, you know, extensive testing and other things like that. But this is really important. Now, most doctors and endocrinologists only test two of the six things I just mentioned, which is why you could suffer forever and just be putting your hands into a doctor's health and never know anything. And meanwhile, you're getting fatter, you're depressed, and your doctor's like, your thyroid's fine, your thyroid medication is fine. I guess you just need Prozac.
That's the frustrating thing, is when the doctors aren't doing the right testing or reading the testing correctly. Nothing is more frustrating, as I said, when they say 50 to 100 is normal and you're right on the border, and yet they say you're fine. And you're like, well, right, why would I be on the border?
And let's talk about that. So it's what's optimal, not it, so I also, if you're in the range but you're low in the range, they're like, it's fine, you're in the range. No, it's what's optimal. So for example, vitamin D, usually it's a scale of 30 to 100. That's the range. Okay, so if you're at 35, someone might be like, fine, it's not flagged with an H for high or an L for low, but actually the optimal is being around 70 to 100 on vitamin D for everybody. So again, if you don't know, if you're not with a doctor that understands nutrition and understands all of these things, you are going to continually go down a road of disappointment and also ill health, because the longer it takes you to solve your thyroid problem, the longer it is that you're in a disease state where all of these other things go wrong. So let's talk about some of these things. In general, free T3 is the test that really corresponds with how we're feeling. Now, for normal people in this world who are not on thyroid hormone and are doing well, and their metabolism's good and they're happy and life is great, most Americans, most people in the world, as a matter of Americans, they are in the middle of the range on free T3. Almost classically, you could test a guy, you could test a girl, and they will be sort of in the middle of the range on free T3. If you're below that, just like 2 points, so let's say the middle of the range on a free T3 test was 3.0, because it would be like 2 to 4, okay, right? So let's say it was 3.0, and let's say someone's got a 2.8. The doctor will discount you because they're like, well, it's so close to the mid-range, when there might be something there to investigate. The other part of it too, and this is where patients really get screwed by doctors, is that once you're on thyroid hormone replacement, then the free T3, particularly, and I want to make this distinction. When I talk about thyroid hormone replacement, I'm going to exclude something called T4 only. That is a sort of first only endocrinologist business of treating thyroid problems. And there's nothing wrong with it. There are people that can thrive on that. But let me just set that aside for a second. I'm talking about people who are on a T4, T3 combination, like natural desiccated thyroid or compounded, or Synthroid and Cytomel, or people who are on T3 only, like myself. And in those cases, most people are functioning and doing really well and are finally feeling great, and they're not hypothyroid when they are above the mid-range, sometimes towards the top of the range. So then you have a doctor who's like, uh-oh, you're on too much medication because you're at a 3.7 and the top of the range is 4.0 if you are on thyroid hormone replacement. And you're like, but I'm doing great. My temp's normal. So that's another thing doctors don't know. They're trying to mimic what's normal for normal people and put it into the category of the people that are on thyroid hormone replacement. And it does not work.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what are the questions we have to ask our doctor to make sure that they are thyroid up to date? I mean, this is a rapidly changing area. So I'm thinking in my mind, and I've had not more on thyroid, but other things where I've gone to a doctor and I'm like, whoa, this is really sad when I know more than you. So
it's actually often the case with myself, and it really is disappointing, and it's continual. And, you know, it's getting a little bit better now with the information being out there. I guess I think, you know, since this is an autoimmune show, I want to talk about Hashimoto's, and let's talk about some of the things that doctors don't know about Hashimoto's. Okay, so Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disorder that affects your thyroid. So if you have type 1 diabetes, then your immune system makes a mistake and it starts attacking the pancreas like it's an enemy, and then you run out of insulin and now you're dependent for the rest of your life. Same goes for Hashimoto's. Your immune system makes a mistake and it starts to attack your thyroid gland to destroy it, increases antibodies, lots of inflammation, lots of symptoms. It could be between hypo and hyper, you can swing, but mostly Hashimoto's does resolve itself sort of in hypothyroidism, meaning underactive thyroid, which is sort of the main point of this discussion. Though I'm happy to discuss Graves, which is autoimmune too, and that's hyper. So we can talk about both. But with autoimmune Hashimoto's, we have learned things that are just clear. Grains really affect the antibodies, particularly gluten. Particularly gluten. And this is why a paleo primal lifestyle or doing a paleo AIP autoimmune protocol is very important. So we have seen people, like, you'll have 600 antibodies on a TPO test, and let's say the range is 0 to 35. So 600 is really high. That person's suffering. And they quit gluten and it drops to 25. So you can see this, but here's the thing, most doctors don't know. So this is the tricky part. So let's say you have Hashimoto's and you're on thyroid hormone replacement because of it. which, by the way, don't always have to be. There are some people that can actually control and keep their autoimmune disorder at bay without ever going on thyroid hormones. And that should be the first order of business. But let's say you can't do that. So let's say you have to go on thyroid hormones now and you have Hashimoto's and you're feeling great. Life's great. All the problems are solved. Yet every time you go to the doctor, the TPO antibodies still say 300 or they're still up there. See, the doctor is going to discount that if they're a dummy doctor and go, oh yeah, well, the person has Hashimoto's. So of course, the antibodies will be there. What they don't know is that you can do something about the antibodies. Everybody needs to know this. You can actually do something about them, but you got to be with a doctor who understands functional medicine and understands nutrients and nutrition. So when you remove these offensive things, like these oxidative, you know, like the canola oils and all the junk, you know, Whole30, paleo, whatever, you don't even have to eat meat, but you've got to be clean here. You remove some of these offenders. There's also things like people who have Hashimoto's sometimes get affected by foods high in histamines. This is something like cinnamon. Are you putting cinnamon on your coffee every morning? There's a lot of autoimmune sufferers who like are like, oh my God, I had no idea. And I've been using cinnamon every day or paprika. So there are lots of different things that people who have autoimmune disorders need to consider nutritionally that most doctors don't know. So you're just going to get the pill and now you're okay or you feel good. But here's why it's a problem. If those antibodies are still high in the background, that is inflammation. Antibodies equal inflammation equal begetting more autoimmune issues and effery going on over there. So you do want, the goal is to get your antibodies as low as possible, even undetected. Now, for your audience, I want to give everyone immense hope here because I have interviewed hundreds of people on the Primal Blueprint podcast, and I have interviewed three people at this point who have completely cured themselves of their autoimmune disorder. One had horrible MS for 20 years. Completely cured it. Meaning if you took her blood test right now, that doesn't have it. Her name's Palmer Kippola. She wrote a book called Beat Autoimmune. Really great story there. Then I have another friend who's not an author, but she's a chef, and her name's Courtney Kontos. She completely cured herself of rheumatoid arthritis that she suffered for 10 years. They put her on all of the biologics. She kept saying, well, I mean, shouldn't we test this to see if it's getting better? And they're like, you're always going to have it. You're just going to have to be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. I mean, she was sentenced to a wheelchair for the rest of her life at my age. And then suddenly got her way out of it through a grocery bag. Kid you not, just chick. She was a chef. So she was like, okay, all right, let me look at food. She completely cured herself. If you took her blood right now, and she normally had RA markers at like 300 or above, they are like zero. Meaning if you tested, it would be like me testing it, where they'd be like, oh, good, you don't have rheumatoid arthritis. How the hell does that happen? That is so, think about that. So there's a set of doctors over here completely ignorant, keeping people sick on these medications. She had to have her wrists are fused now. She had to have like a fifth, you know, like a $500,000 foot surgery. All of these, she couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair for months and months. Nobody needed to go through that. Nobody.
Absolutely.
Now the other person that cured themselves of rheumatoid arthritis as well is another chef named Seamus Mullen. He's written several books about it. Same thing. He was on literally like 18 different medications. He suffered for 10 years. He, you know, these people, as you might know with rheumatoid arthritis, you know, they take a step down a step and it feels like someone just took a hammer to their foot. I mean, this is a horrible, horrible, painful thing. And so he thought, okay, let me look at food. Okay. And so he did the same thing. It's been, I think like 10 years now or 7 years now, he's been completely off all of the medications. In 6 months, he dropped the medications in half. In about 12 months, he was only down to two. In 18 months, he was off all of them and he has not had an issue since. So this suffering is sometimes absolutely necessary. One of the things he learned about foods, and this is another thing about nutrition, this is why people with autoimmune disorders really do need to look into the nutritional aspects of this, because it's no joke. So one of the things he said to me when I interviewed him is he said, well, you know, I really realize I can't have Szechuan food. And I said, oh, are there some spices in there or something that don't work with your thing? He said, no, actually, it's when they heat the peppers at a high rate, it oxidizes it to a point where the lectins get stronger or come out. And again, this is why a lot of people with autoimmune disorders, when they remove beans and legumes, again, that's also paleo. So paleo is really no grains, no beans, no legumes. That's not to say that you can't get away with some white rice or something like that, but there are people with rheumatoid arthritis that when they even eat a pseudo grain like quinoa, they will wake up and not be able to button their shirt the next morning. So these are really things, these are important things to look into. So I suggest looking into a paleo AIP or autoimmune protocol. Everyone can look up the work of Eileen Laird. She wrote a simple guide to the AIP and has a lot of information on it that's very inexpensive. There's also Sarah Ballantyne's book called The Paleo Approach. So this is what we know about Hashimoto's, okay? So the other thing about Hashimoto's too is that it can run in families with autoimmune disorders, but also too, it can be ignited by things like living in a place with black mold. So Dave Asprey from Bulletproof, everyone knows Bulletproof Coffee and the company, he got Hashimoto's from having black mold infestation in his place. This can happen. So sometimes it's ignited by something, and once you clean that out, you're not going to have a problem again. Sometimes it's just kind of a hereditary thing. And sometimes it really is just what you're eating. Some of the people I've talked to that aren't on medication with Hashimoto's and they're doing good, the moment they kind of go off the rails and have like a gluten-filled pizza, you know, like bender for a couple of weeks, they feel awful.
And then sometimes it doesn't even take a couple of weeks. Sometimes it can take a matter of
hours,
half an hour or an hour.
Yeah. Like Terry Walls, you know, with MS as well. Same thing. She eats something and literally within an hour she'll have a headache. So again, this is really, really important. So Hashimoto's and regular hypothyroidism are sort of treated the same, with the caveat that the Hashimoto's people need to usually do more work. Now there is another thing that people are unaware of, and it's in the Q&A in the back of my book with Dr. Forsman, The Paleo Thyroid Solution. But a lot of people aren't aware of something called low-dose naltrexone. And LDN is something that has been used to lower antibodies in all sorts of conditions and cancers and all sorts of things. So it's really important to work, and that has to be compounded, and you have to know a doctor understands that. So sometimes when like the person has done everything, they've done all the food cleaning out, they cleaned out, you know, they did all the stuff and they still have high antibodies, that's when low dose naltrexone comes in. And anybody can Google LDN, my name, and a podcast should come up where I specifically just talk about that with a doctor. So that's another treatment. Then again, a lot of doctors don't know about, they're afraid to use it. They don't understand how to use compounding pharmacies. And this is why it is important to get to someone who understands these conditions and is a functional medicine, preferably paleo tinged, because they're going to understand nutrition, at least the clean part of it. And again, I'm not advocating that you have to eat red meat to be paleo. I know a lot of people think, oh, you have to eat red meat. Not necessarily. I mean, it would be good if you could at least be pescatarian or introduce eggs or whey into your life. But if not, there's still some things you can do, but particularly with food. Yeah.
We need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Elle some more about this, because it's a fascinating topic. And as you can tell, we have a brilliant expert here who's been through it herself. And I think that's always, to me, a key factor, is knows what they're talking about because they've lived it and survived it and now are optimizing it and excelling at it. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Elle Rust. She's the author of The Paleo Thyroid Solution, and she's helped thousands of people worldwide to reclaim their health. As you can tell, she's just an expert in all of this, and we're going to go deeper into thyroid solutions, as well as the paleo lifestyle. And she is also the host of the very popular Primal Blueprint podcast. And so, Al, this has just been fascinating. And I want to go into the low-dose naltrexone a little bit more, a medication that is used for other things. And they've discovered that in using very low doses, it's helpful in a variety of areas. But it's because it's looked at differently, I guess it got started in the world differently, a lot of doctors don't even know about it. So let's talk about how do we bring that up to our physician if it seems like the right thing for us to do?
Well, you know, it's tough because when a doctor doesn't know about something, they can sometimes react with ego, you know, and yes. They're not willing to learn more information. And even if they are, that's going to be a huge learning curve. So something like low-dose naltrexone, and let me just say this. So the max of a low-dose naltrexone is 4.5 milligrams. So that would be the max for someone as far as an autoimmune disorder. You can start extra low. You can start at 0.5 or 1. The problem is that if you're with a doctor that doesn't even understand how compounding pharmacies work, then they're probably not going to learn all of that for you, unfortunately. Right. So that's the only bummer, because there's sometimes when you can really teach a doctor something, or this is what I always say, you got to become your own expert, because when you show that you're compliant and that you're on top of it and you know this information and you're speaking intelligently, then you are more likely to get a doctor who's going to be willing to practice medicine with you, even though it's something that they normally would not do or that they're a little bit skeptical of, but they may go in that direction. And that's why it's another reason to be learned. Yeah, LDN can be a lifesaver for people, can help with sleep. I mean, it is given in doses for, you know, for cancer. It's really, really an important thing. And again, I can't speak as intelligently as most doctors can on it, but I do have a whole thing on it in my book. And as well, we did do a whole podcast episode on it. It is, it's an anti-ager. There's lots of people with Hashimoto's and other autoimmune disorders that do really well there. The other thing I want to mention too is that you've got something like black mold that could ignite an autoimmune problem. Well, you also like, did you have Lyme disease? You know, there are lots of other things that can affect it. Another thing that really affects mitochondrial function and inflammation in general, and just I'm talking non-Hashimoto's here, is heavy metals. I had major heavy metals. My mercury was crazy. Now, I can't say if that was the thing that caused it, or the selenium deficiency was the thing that caused it, or, you know, there was a whole cascade. I used to be a cigarette smoker. Did that? Okay. I used to swim in chlorinated pools every day. Could that have displaced my thyroid? I probably had a whole storm of things that were contributing to it. But at
the
end of
what people have to realize. Yeah. It's very rare to be able to point to one thing and said, bingo, that's what caused it. I eliminate that and everything will go away.
That's right.
It's usually a cascade or a storm of things, just the right, everything hits at the right moment that the immune system goes haywire.
Yeah, and that's why it's really important though, because you need to have a doctor to help you, or you need to learn it so that you can understand all of the components that we're not... I don't like just target one part of my body, right? You know, it's all connected here. So we have to look at these things. So,
and that's important about functional medicine, yes. Because often two times in the Western, and Western saved my life. I don't, this is not an argument pro or con against it. Just saying that breaking up into specialties oftentimes limits their ability to see 100%. Beyond that specialty. And right. So finding a doctor who has a wide range of experience and a wide range of patients and is comfortable with complex. To me, that was where it became important that I met very nice people in the medical profession. I realized, you know, they're not comfortable in discovery of complex.
You know, I have a story in my book, a couple of yucky doctor stories. One of them was I went to a DO, and they are usually more on top of it. And she had really known a lot of stuff about taking nutrient test profiles. She knew about ferritin. I thought she knew what was up. And this was after my first bout of hypothyroidism, and I was doing well for a few years. And I thought, oh, great, I finally met a doctor who understands this thing, and great, I'm done. I'm going to be good to go. Then I ran into a reverse T3 problem, like I told you, and I figured out what it was. And then I go to her and I say, oh my gosh, this is what I found. Can you test me? She tests me. I have a horrible reverse T3 problem. I explained to her how it has to be solved. And she literally, she literally looks at me and throws up her hands and says, oh, Elle, this is too complicated. Now, let me tell you what I said right back to her. I said, really? So medical school wasn't complicated? So doing organic chemistry tests on the MCAT wasn't complicated, but this is? Come on. Come on, lady. You know what I mean? Do you know how horrible that was? I walked out of that office and I knew again that I was on my own for the second time in 10 years. And I bawled my eyes out in that car because here it was. I thought I had a doctor who actually was up on it or at least would look into something for me, but possibly find a recommendation for me, maybe research it a bit, something. And then, nope, left in the dust.
And what absolutely happens, I hear this story pretty consistently, which is unfortunate. And I am so thankful that she told you right then and there because you were able to go, okay,
yep,
you know, I'm on my own, but I'm glad I know that. I'm glad that's out of my life. And sometimes firing a doctor and or being fired as a patient, which I've been fired as a patient, fine. It just means time to move on.
Absolutely. I had another story, and this just goes to show you how people are patronized all the time. And this is a lot of my coaching because people are scared of their doctor. They need them, but they also have issues with them. And they're like, how do I talk to them? You know, how do I bring this up? That's a lot of the
I'm tired
sometimes.
Of being called. It's all in my head, or I'm a hypochondriac or whatever it is. I mean,
exactly. So one time, this is another great example of just ego and ignorance with the medical field. I took a woman who didn't really speak English very well. She worked for a company and she had a thyroid problem. And I just had a suspicion that she had a reverse T3 problem. She had high blood pressure. They wanted to put her on pills for that. She was miserable. She was bloated and fat, total disaster, depressed. And I thought, and she was on Synthroid T4 only for like 20 years. And I thought, yeah, this is probably the situation, classic situation. So I go with her to her endocrinologist. This endocrinologist was so rude. She didn't even look the patient in the eye. She didn't ask her anything about her symptoms or anything else. And I said to her, to the doctor, I said, listen, could you take a reverse T3 test for this patient? And she says to me, she goes patronizingly, she goes, we don't do that. Reverse T3 is old school. And I said to her, well, that's interesting because I just myself got over a reverse T3 problem. And that's pretty damn new school to me. All I'm asking is that you take a test for this patient. Can you just take a test? She says, you know, I'm not going to let people dictate how I practice medicine. I said, I'm not telling you how to practice medicine. I'm just telling you, can you take this test for this patient? I mean, this is like, really? I'm fighting with a doctor. Okay. So then she says this kills me. She says, fine. I'll take it, but I don't know how to evaluate it. And I said to her, did you just patronize me for asking you to take a test that you are now telling me you don't even know what it is? Sharon, do you see how frustrating? This is the kind of stuff. This is the shiz people have to go through. This is not cool. Then what happens? Well, what do you think happened? She took the reverse T. She had a horrible reverse T3 problem. I was completely right. 100% right. Like, what if I was never there to discover this? Like, really? This endocrinologist has no clue, just ego, like, you're stupid for even asking that question, but I don't even know what it is. Then she takes so it's a bad reverse T3 problem. And then I say to her, can you please put this patient on some T3? Can you add T3 to this T4? And I said, 10 micrograms. She goes, I'll do 5. And I was like, okay, fine. That's better than nothing. My gosh, we'll have to work with her for now. We'll go to someone else, whatever. Now, it was funny because I walked out of there. I go, that's interesting. So she actually did let a patient dictate how she practices medicine because I just asked her what to do. And she finally finally agreed to do it.
But it shouldn't have to be a battle. And I'm a big advocate that move on. If you're battling with someone and you're like, they just hit me, they're patronizing me, that whatever it is, if you're not feeling like you're being heard, or you're not feeling like you're being respected, or whatever it is, that's not the right fit.
And also, these people, like, you interview them. You're not there to bow down to some doctor because they have an MD, like they are, you know, the Oracle of Delphi. Are you kidding me? No. And that's the thing we need to understand. We need to stop being afraid and like, oh, you know, worshiping these doctors, like, oh, they're going to save me. First of all, you get diagnosed with anything, you become your own expert, because I can tell you right now, it's the only way you're going to get better. And then the second move is, you have to find the right doctor. And if they're patronized, I got patronized once by a doctor who said, laughed at me for asking for a B12 test. Turns out I had a B12 deficiency. Like, of course, you know what I mean? So it's just, it's fascinating to me, and it's tough. And it's, you know, look, when you're sick with anything, you're suffering usually with your brain, you're suffering with depression about it. Hypothyroidism causes depression because we have more T3 receptors in our brain than anywhere else. So it's not just that you're depressed because you're falling apart and have 30 symptoms. It's because you are literally depressed. Your neurotransmitters, everything's off. So when you're in that state, you're not confident. It's hard. You're weak. You're vulnerable. You just want someone to help you. You've got this patronizing individual with you with a degree, but they have all of this power because they can take blood tests and prescribe. So you're like, but that dynamic has to change. You have to change it to, is this doctor good enough for me? I'm interviewing this person. They're here to work for me. And what I have found is that, you know, and I ask people this too. I'm like, what's your health worth to you money-wise? And people always say, oh, it's no amount of money, right? Like, I mean, my health is... But then why aren't you treating it that way? And you keep going back to the HMO doctor for your insurance, but you're going to, you know, spend a couple grand on something else that year. It's worth it. It's worth the money to go and get someone who understands what they're talking about. Now, if you can find someone who takes insurance, great. But a lot of the functional orthomolecular physicians don't take insurance because they don't want to be dictated by insurance companies. They spend an hour and a half with people. They do a lot more testing that would ever be approved by insurance. So, you know, if you want to get to the matter and you want to get down to business, you really have to go to someone who's going to understand the full picture. Now, DOs can sometimes be good at that. Naturopathic physicians can too. I would say to choose a functional medicine MD, an integrative physician who's a functional medicine, not someone who's just hanging an integrative physician, integrative holistic practice shingle above their practice, but that they really truly have these credentials. And those doctors have gone above and beyond. And here's the thing about those doctors, and this is really what I think everyone needs to think about when they're looking for a doctor. Don't you want someone who is still geeking out like they did in medical school when they're like, ooh, let's solve this problem. That's the kind of doctor I want. I want a doctor who, when I bring in information, I go, hey, look, I read this. Is there any way you could take a look at it? That they're actually going to consider it and go, you know, I had a doctor look at me and go, I'm not going to read that book. And I was like, okay, great. But you're ignorant about a subject and I'm giving you a book on a subject and you're not even willing. Like, what does that say about you? But it says more about sort of just the Western model they're in. And like you said, listen, I've been saved by Western medicine. It's amazing. Of course, you sever an arm, naturopathic doctor is not going to help you with that. You're going to need a hand surgeon, right? It's really important to go and seek out the people that are looking at the root causes, understand nutrition. A lot of them don't. So here's the thing. Right. So you have a doctor. Well, so for example, like with MS, it was typically back in the day, like, oh, eat a low fat diet. And so that was the model that those doctors would be pushing as far as nutrition, because people always go, well, is there anything I can do? Can I eat? And they were wrong that whole time. So basically, like, that person is continually suffering with MS symptoms forever. And this is, again, why you have to do the research. But now it's really out there, and there's so many people that have solved this. I mean, listen, 20 years ago, when I was like 15, 20 years ago, when I was figuring, there was no information. I mean, there was no books on it. There was paleo hadn't even come on the scene. So that wasn't even something I could research. There were no free podcasts with people talking about this. I had to figure it out myself. Nowadays, my gosh, I've got hundreds of interviews out there. You could listen to me all day and learn without ever buying my book. You could listen to tons of experts, functional medicine doctors. You know, they're doing IG live TVs on different topics. This is amazing. This is the best time to get better. This is the best time to get better. I didn't have this. I wish I did, which is why I'm out there helping others, because I want everyone's journey from hypo to unhypo no matter how it happens, naturally or through medication or both, whatever. That time, I want to be short. Let's get to it. This thing is solvable, by the way. Everyone needs to know that hypothyroidism is solvable. I'm on thyroid hormone replacement that I take every day to live. I'm unhypo though. Okay. So it's solvable. It's not to say that I go off medication and that's going to be solvable and I won't be hypothyroid, but it's completely solvable. And people need to know that, because when there were these uninformed doctors and they're taking the test and they're just going, sorry, no, Prozac, maybe your thyroid tests are fine. Are they? Because every single patient around the world that contacts me that says, well, my doctor said my thyroid was fine. I'm like, yeah, BS. And every time I look at the results, either A, the doctor did not test them comprehensively and missed something, or B, they literally tested them somewhat right and then completely missed the ball on it. So again, this is where personal responsibility comes in. You have to learn it. And that's, here's the thing too. It seems a little daunting. T4, T3, reverse T3. Oh God, it's like science class all over again. I get it. But what I'm here to tell you in my book, or if you hear me interviewed and talk about this topic elsewhere, it is really simple to understand in a theoretical, philosophical way, which is the only way you really need to get it. And I'm happy to go through how the thyroid works and go through the thyroid feedback loop if we have time. And if not, that's okay. But this is something that everyone really needs to understand, and you can do it on your own. And that's why I'm here, to help you understand this stuff so that you can go, something's not right here.
Awesome. We need to take our final quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to touch on paleo. We've been sort of skirting around what is paleo. We've heard things about high fat, low fat. Let's talk in our final 10 minutes about paleo. What is that and how does it help our thyroid? We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Elle Russ tonight, the author of The Paleothyroid Solution. She is a survivor, a thriver, and an optimizer of her autoimmune condition, as well as the popular host and of the Primal Blueprint podcast. I think I got that right. It's an amazing podcast. Check it out. She's gone from A to Z and everywhere else in it. It's been around forever. It has over 18 million lifetime downloads, which is just an amazing bravo on that, Elle. And I want to talk about, we've sort of been skirting around the word paleo, and I know it gets tossed around a lot, and we've talked about API on the show before, but let's talk a little bit, what is paleo? Because I think a lot of people think, well, I'll just fry up some bacon and I've gone paleo.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and also I just want to clarify, I actually don't have the autoimmune form of hypothyroidism. I just have hypothyroidism. So
thank you.
But that's touched on in my book. And of course, I work with autoimmune patients because it's the same way to correct it with the caveats that we discussed earlier. Yeah, so let's talk about paleo, primal, ancestral, evolutionary health, which are all synonymous. And people will be like, well, what's the difference between paleo and primal? They're all really the same. Some people might say that paleo is stricter than primal. Primal was sort of a, you know, the term kind of coined by Mark Sisson, the primal blueprint, where he first came out and said, hey, even if you can only do 80%, you're going to be better off than the rest of the country. Let's try that. So he might be considered more lenient, like allowing a little occasional dairy or potatoes, where some strict paleo people would be like, nope, not at all. So the bottom line is this. We as humans have a certain set of DNA that expects things from us. So for example, no one has ever, who's listening to this, has ever fried up a ribeye steak and fed it to a horse. We just wouldn't do that. That would be mean. Because that horse has its own set of DNA that has its own set of requirements for it. And same with a cow. A cow has four stomachs. They can process cellulose like we cannot. We could never. So they're grazing on grass all day. They have its own set of DNA. And want to just make a little comparison here. Some people wonder why when they look at a package of meat, it says like no antibiotics. And so I was like, well, why would there even be antibiotics involved? Here's why. Because a cow's ancestral prescriptive DNA demanded diet is eating grass all day and grazing. So when you take a bunch of cows and you feed them grains, which is their non-native diet, they get sick and you have to administer antibiotics. And that's where that all comes from. So grass-fed beef or pasture-raised beef, which is allowed to roam and live its life eating the diet that it was meant to, or pastured chickens versus grain-fed, they are the better choice. They also don't get sick. The ranchers that have pastured animals, they rarely get sick or they get a little sniffle, but they have an immune system, so it just corrects it quickly versus, you know, and so that's what happens with us. If you feed us what we are not meant to eat as human beings and our DNA, we get sick. And so what happened? They did not even see the paleontologists of the world who can look at a sample and go, oh, that's a monkey, or look at a sample and go, oh, okay, that's a human. These people never saw rheumatoid arthritis ever on the archaeological record until grains came on the scene 10,000 years ago when the agricultural revolution started and we stopped hunter-gathering and we started to go, okay, we're going to farm and we're going to stay here. And they found skulls of 60,000 hunter-gatherer ancestors, complete intact skull, teeth, perfect, everything great. You look at a skull from a farmer back then, 10,000 years ago, teeth are decrepit, etc. And this goes to even something like back in the day, there always was this awful stereotype of British people that they had bad teeth. I'm sure everyone's heard it. And it was like, where the hell does that come from? Here's really where it comes from. They were the first people to get sugar. Okay, they were the first people to get sugar. So this is what happens too with apes in the wild, with primates. You know, they feed them these like vitamin cakes and they get sick. And then you feed them their native diet and they thrive. So the same thing goes for humans. And so what does our DNA truly dictate of us? Well, it really doesn't like an overabundance of carbohydrates. How do I know that? Look at our world. Has anyone seen a commercial lately that's not for a glucose monitoring diabetes medication? It is a disaster. Our food pyramid is a diabetes-making diet. It suggests 6 to 11 servings of grains a day plus 2 to 4 servings of fruit. You're going to get type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is an epidemic in our country. What is type 2? Unlike type 1, which is autoimmune, okay, type 2 is something we give to ourselves unbeknownst to us because we don't understand nutrition. And so I was insulin resistant. I was pre-diabetic myself. I could tell you, doesn't feel good. It's a horrible state of inflammation. It can also cause thyroid problems. So paleo, primal, ancestral is really a high fat, moderate protein, low carb paradigm. What do I mean by that? So I'm a woman. I'm 5 feet, 2 inches tall. So I'm not a large woman. So for someone like me, a low carb would be somewhere like no more than maybe 100 total grams of carbohydrates a day, and maybe between 80 and 20. When people talk about keto, that's a whole different ballgame. That's really getting super low on carbs, like 50 or under or 20 or lower. That's a totally different paradigm, and I won't even get into that now because that's its own podcast. But paleo, primal, ancestral is not only just clean living, getting rid of the terrible fats and the igniters of inflammation, like certain dairies and grains, beans, legumes, and things like that. It's eating after the model of what we did when we were roaming around as hunter-gatherers. Now, here's the other side of it too. You could look at a paleo food list and go, okay, and then eat from it and be like, it's not working for me. I'm still craving stuff and all. But here's the other component. The other component is lifestyle. often people overexercise. If you're a carbohydrate-dependent sugar burner, then you are in a state where you're eating the glucose and then you've got to go run it out and to deplete it, and now you're filling it up again, and you're in this hamster wheel that will never end, except it will end in type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance.
And we're going to have to end right there.
Sorry.
We'll have to have you back because this is just awesome. Your expertise and brilliance are much appreciated. We're down to the last 2 minutes, and I want to have time for people to know, where do we get your book? How do we find your podcast? So please take our last 2 minutes and share with us.
Sure. Well, lruss.com, free thyroid guide, tells you all the tests I just mentioned, tells you questions to ask the doctor over the phone or their nurse to see if it's even worth your copay to go visit them, tells you how to find a doctor in your own state or country. So that's a free thyroid guide that's just on my website. You can find my book almost everywhere. I also am the author of another book called Confident as F-U-C-K. I won't say the word. And that's a self-help book all about confidence and self-esteem. I also host the Primal Blueprint podcast. That's every Monday, where I interview people like you do in the health and wellness world, mind, body. I also host another podcast that I just started not too long ago called kickasslifepodcast.com. It's a video podcast. It's with my co-host, Tara Garrison, where we just talk about things that can improve your life. We talk about, you know, one episode might be on blaming, another episode might be on, you know, how to manifest. So that's just sort of a real fun one and an encourager for everybody. But what I do suggest is, if you're really curious about paleo primal living, go to marksdailyapple.com or go back to the Primal Blueprint podcast and listen to the first 10 or 15 episodes with Mark Sisson and Brad Kearns, both New York Times bestselling authors. Learned everything I learned from them, basically talking about what it means to be fat adapted, what paleo means, what primal means, and it's all free for everybody.
Awesome. Amazing. Now I want to spell her name. It's LLERUSS.com. So that's how you spell her first name, L. It's not just the letter. ELLE. Russ.com. And thank you so much, Al. Deeply appreciate you coming and sharing with us all your wisdom. You are in charge of your health. And I think that was one of the major critical messages of today's episode. So thank you. Bless you, Al, for being here. And everyone, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another brand new episode. Pop over to understandingautoimmune.com. Check out all the other shows, as well as leave us some messages on social media. It's always at Understanding Autoimmune. Wherever you go, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, we're there. And thank you. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.